Welcome to the Zimcast, a program dedicated to bringing you what's new in agricultural marketing. The Zimcast is the official podcast of AgWired and hosted by Chuck and Cindy Zimmerman.
Hello and welcome to the Zimcast. I'm Chuck Zimmerman. I'd like to thank the sponsor for our program, and that's GrowMark, locally owned, globally strong. In this week's program, we are going to learn about AgFacts Media. I visited with husband and wife team Owen Taylor and Deborah Ferguson while I was at the Beltwide Cotton Conferences. And as you will hear in our conversation, this company started out doing things a certain way, and as technology has changed, so has their business. Boy, we can relate to that here at ZimCom. So I hope you enjoy our conversation.
Well, Owen and Deborah, it's great to meet you here at this Beltwide Cotton Conference. We just chatted a little while ago, and I thought, you know, it would be interesting to learn a little bit more about AgFacts Media and what you all are doing. We got a husband and wife team on my side that work out of home offices. You kind of mentioned something about that and, you know, just struck a chord, I guess. So I'd love to learn a little bit more about what you guys are doing. We'll just let whoever wants to go first. But I think, you know, first let's just kind of get an idea of the type of work that you're doing now.
Chuck, 21 years ago we started publishing a newsletter covering California cotton. Although we're in Mississippi, we were doing a lot of work in California. And, you know, we came out of a freelancing background, and we were very highly concentrated in agriculture. Deborah grew up on a rice and soybean farm in Mississippi. My parents owned an aerial application service, and we'd started working for various farm magazines. And we began to realize when we were in California, and I think Deborah hit on this first, that everybody seemed to have a fax machine. In California, people were communicating with their brokers for commodities, and they had to communicate with the official county ag office to get clearance to do certain applications. And so we came up with a newsletter covering cotton. And from that, we grew into 7 newsletters plus a weekly supplement plus a website that's really kind of a clearinghouse for southern agricultural information. And since then, we've branched into more lately some social media channels. Just got into that because we needed to ourselves, and then found extension people who were hungry for information and who were really serving content to our site. And we realized that if we could move them towards, for example, blogging, we could simplify the process of them getting information to us.
Well, I find that fascinating, you know, coming from a very traditional sector of the media, the broadcasting side, which is, you know, I'll be the first to say I still am very much in support of, think it's very viable for anybody who may don't misunderstand, but we are in a new media world today. How is business? How is this this going? I mean, how's it working out for you all?
Well, it's going really well. We've especially working with universities and picking up, you know, ways to help them and developing their blogs. The website we have, agfacts.com, is, you know, there's advertising possibilities on there, but we're really a clearinghouse of news that a lot of industry and farmers and everyone in ag is coming to get the latest news, whether they can get state news and they can get just general Sunbelt ag news.
And I think from just a general business development point, it's a lot different now than it was 3 or 4 years ago. Suddenly, we have people coming to us saying, oh, we've got to go electronic. We've got to deliver things by email, or we've got to be into these social channels. And we kind of, a long time ago, came out of a print background, very much so doing work for magazines. Deborah is a photographer and specialized in agriculture. And, you know, we kind of had to... I think in the presentation the other day, I mentioned the concept of burning your ships. We've had things that were part of our business model for years that we've had to let go. Our name of our website is agfacts.com, but we don't fax anything anymore.
I was going to ask you that.
Yeah.
So fax has become as F-A-C-T-S, but we spell it F-A-X. So we just kind of turned around and used it in a different way.
You know, went through a period that everything went out by fax in the very beginning, and that was 21 years ago. And then 3 or 4 years into the whole process, and we developed a cotton newsletter in the Mid-South by then. And we found that people in California were very much tied to fax machines, but in the rest of the country, it was email. And the first year, we offered our California cotton newsletter by email. I think at the end of the year, we had 18 subscribers. And that was just a sliver of our subscriber base. But in 2010, at the end of the regular season, we completely dropped faxing. It had gotten down to the point with most of our subscribers that I think we were at 5% faxing. And really, I've got to credit Deborah and our circulation manager, Laurie Courtney, with the fact that they just pressed me into the idea, you're killing yourself doing a fax newsletter edition as well, and we've got to go to email. And I guess I was talking earlier about the burning your ships concept, where you just take a business component or communications channel and you say, this isn't the future, this isn't how it's working, and we've got to drop it. And so we segued out of faxing altogether, and everything goes out by email now.
Well, when we started Zimcom New Media, we were essentially looking to be public relations, and we now call it Ag Newswire, but the idea was to just have a news release distribution service, right? Well, at that time, we had a database of editors. Really, we focused on radio first because we called it talking news releases. We had to actually send individual emails. I think I used ACT as the software at the time, contact tracking software. Yeah. And we sent individual emails with audio files as attachments. It was a horrendous way because, A, it took forever to email because service wasn't as good 8 years ago as it is now. And, boy, talk about an evolution to what we do today. Yeah. We still do that. But now, you know, once we learned how to put a hyperlink into the document, you know, the email, like, yeah. Duh, why am I sending an MP3 file? Yeah. So, yeah, it has been a major change from even that new way we were doing things coming from the radio side. We just see it. I think here somebody from Cotton Council said, you know, we are basically almost paperless organizationally, a big move on their part, because I think they've been one of those organizations with all the technical stuff. Lots of paper has been used in this Cotton Council business.
Well, and you know, the whole thing in terms of media right now is reinventing yourself as you go along. A lot of iteration, which is a word I'd never even heard until 3 or 4 years ago, but trying small steps, trying new components, seeing how they work. With all of the technology you work with and we work with, you can look at the metrics. Everything is verifiable, whether you're really reaching an audience or not. You look at different parameters. You look at different places to see how you're doing. And you can decide, well, this isn't working. I don't need to be doing it. So, you know, again, iteration is a word everybody needs to get in their vocabulary now.
So you're still, at least to some extent, working on a subscription model with, like, the newsletters, for example, right?
Yes, but they're free to the subscribers. Sponsorships is how we make the money work. Okay. But those subscriptions, people sign up, whether they're interested in rice in Mid-South and Texas or the Southeast cotton or peanuts, you know, almonds in California. So we're covering.
Yeah, I'd say that's a one of the significant differences in what the model we adopted. There is no subscription process, and that creates a challenge because, you know, you do have a kind of verifiable, you know exactly who they are. I know I got a lot of visitors, but other than knowing some IP addresses or whatever, I'm not sure I know who they are, you know?
Yeah. And it's we have somebody who spends full time on our database going through and, you know, seeing who opened and who didn't and who's bouncing and having to dog each one of those email addresses to get.
I can't say I was ever database management fan. I almost look at that as an art form, kind of like being a Photoshop expert. I mean, a database expert is kind of a specialized thing.
Yeah. Well, yes, it is. And I've worked Photoshop for years, so I look at database, and I don't want to learn database, so we have somebody to do that. But yeah, that's
I fully understand that. Here, you mentioned it, the session you did here. I thought it was fascinating to see on the program here, Social Media for Production Agriculture. You were one of our presenters. Tell us about that presentation.
Well, this grew out of the fact that we had been informally consulting with several extension services about blogging and social media. And you know, in the beginning, these were cases of extension service groups that we worked very closely with. They all had PDF newsletters, and none of them were very happy with the fact that, you know, the PDF newsletters have some drawbacks. And then running parallel to that, we began seeing the move to mobile phones. And so when we send out one of our newsletters now, we have a way to check through the email service, and we can see that, say, 30% of the people opened up a device on a mobile phone. PDF files simply aren't something to send anybody on a cell phone. And we begin kind of hammering this away with these extension services because they're some of our cooperators. We're kind of entwined with them. And they were sending us PDF files to post on our website. And that was a very important component until 2009. I think in 2009 we had 1 million PDF documents downloaded from our website, and mainly extension documents. But we began seeing the mobile trend then, and it continued to grow, and we had to take it seriously. So we began converting PDF files from extension into HTML. Yeah, and it's a very laborious thing. And then from there, we kept saying to these people, you have got to go to a blog. If you go to a blog and meet certain parameters, we'll just direct link to your blog. In some cases, we copy and paste, but it was a way for them to facilitate information flowing to us. And from us, it goes out to a number of news feeds that other universities carry, plus AgriCharts and, you know, just some individual websites. But it's a way for them to distribute information on a more complete basis. Well, we finally hammered away enough on Mississippi that they said, well, let's try it. We developed a blog. We tied it in with an email newsletter. And then they began to see results. We were contacted by the people we work with in Arkansas. They wanted the same thing. University of Tennessee, independent of that, set up their own system, but basically all three of those states had a PDF newsletter that was fairly comprehensive across crops and subjects. They already had an email list, and so that we converted them over to a blog. They dropped the PDF and went on from there. And what all of them emphasized at the workshop the other day, and they all had really good charts, whether it was from Arkansas, Tennessee, there was a county agent there from Georgia who we worked with who's very active in blogging. They all emphasized the importance of having an email list to send links on a weekly basis or when they accumulate enough new things on the blog to actually bring people to it. The mistake we always see is that at an extension level, they say, we're going to have a blog, we're going to have a website, and people will come to it, they'll bookmark it. It never works like that anymore. And it doesn't have to be a beautiful website, as long as you're pulling people to it and you got the right content.
Yeah, I mean, the content is king. It's always has been. It is. I don't care what media you're in, actually. Print, broadcast, doesn't matter. But there are ways to enhance the traffic, the readership, what have you. And e-newsletters, for example, is, you know, a great way to do it. Let's see here.
I think one thing that we have found is that you've got to add the Facebook and the Twitter to it. You've got to use them. It's not a destination. It's kind of a journey. You've got to go forward. And it's been very difficult for me and to Deborah, maybe to a lesser extent, but the idea of sharing. And you know, enhancing other people's lives enhances yours. I think one trap we've seen is that people look at this from the standpoint that I'm going to get a Facebook fan page, or worse, I'm going to have a Twitter feed. And they think that's going to be enough, but you've got to have a foundation under there where you've got content, you've got a place to put it, and then you've got to push it out, whether it's through email or Facebook or Twitter.
Yeah, I've used the analogy since we kind of got into this that I view the blog as the hub of the wheel, and the spokes are Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn. Believe it or not, MySpace is still viable at the moment, and YouTube and Flickr, and I mean, I could just go on, and I interact with, you know, some crossover in and amongst that, but I look at that as making content available when and where and how they want to get it, and that's what the consumer, I don't care what commodity or industry you're talking about, wants today, is expecting, demanding, because as a couple of people I follow in the social media world say, we are all media today. It's kind of a hard concept to grasp, but when you can just publish from your phone, and how many news events have we seen where the first images CNN can even put on is what they've got off of TwitPic or something?
Well, yeah. Today I saw that happen where there's a comedian who made some faux pas during a presentation he was doing, and somebody sent out, the only thing they had was from an iPhone, and they had a little video. And I thought, my photography business is changing. Everything's changing. Got to stop and reevaluate what's going to work, mm-hmm. because it's all different.
It very much so.
And it's interesting that you use the hub and spoke analogy. We have tended to focus more on kind of a pyramid thing to explain it to people, and but everybody is media now.
Yeah.
And you can choose as many roles as you want to, and with something like WordPress, which I think you use too, you can kill several birds with one stone. You post it once on WordPress, and it becomes many things in many venues automatically.
Exactly. Well, I think we're going to have to move along here, both
You've
of us.
You've got a plane to catch, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, there is that, and that's kind of important. But I think it's great to meet you all, and appreciate having the time to talk about some of this. I mean, we could keep on, I think, actually.
We always enjoy getting your emails. So
good, I'm glad somebody does. I can use all the satisfied people I spam that I can get, you know. But anyway, good. Again, Owen and Deborah, great to meet you here at Beltwide Cotton Conference.
Well, that is the Zimcast for this week. I hope you've enjoyed it, and thank you for listening.
You've been listening to the Zimcast, the official podcast of AgWired. Check us out at www.agwired.com to find out what's new in agricultural marketing.